The Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye, a good friend of mine, and Jerry Jenkins certainly aroused people's curiosity in the things that are to come. People were reading those books that had never read anything from the Bible, and they were glued to those books, wanting to know what was going to happen. I believe one of them was called The Mark of the Beast, and that's what we'll talk about today, because I want you to see for yourself what God's Word says. Behind series was a phenomenon in its time, and it was a phenomenon in its time because all of a sudden people were reading those books who were not aware of what was going to happen in the end times, at the end of the days. And so it awakened a great curiosity. And what it needs to do is it needs to awaken that great curiosity in any book that man has written in order, or any Christian book that man has written, in order to take us back to the Word of God where we discover truth for ourselves. You know, that's what Precept Ministries International is all about. It's about teaching people to study God's Word inductively in order to view the world biblically, so that you have a biblical worldview of events that are going on. Well, what Daniel chapter 7 is telling us about is telling us about the end of the days. It's telling us what's going to happen just before the God of heaven sets up his kingdom, just before the Son of Man receives a kingdom from the Father. And we want to look at that. So let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, and remember, Daniel wanted to know the meaning of the fourth beast. He wanted to know the meaning of the 10 horns that were on the head of the fourth beast, and he wanted to know the meaning of the little horn that came up after the other 10 horns. So now we're in verse 23. It says, "Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms." So this is an earthly kingdom, but it's different from the other three that precede it. "It will devour," and it says, "the whole earth." And we mark that because it's a geographical location. "And tread it," the whole earth, "down and crush it," the whole earth. "As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom, 10 kings will arise, and another will arise after them." Now, we've gone through all of this in the former program. So if you didn't hear it, you want to pick up the phone and order the CDs right away, or go online and order them. And it says, "And he will be different from the previous ones and subdue 3 kings. So there's something unusual about this 11th horn, so to speak, this little big horn that comes up after the other 10. And one of the things that makes him different is it stresses that he had the eyes of a man. He possessed the eyes of a man, and he had a mouth that uttered great boasts. Remember, we read that in Daniel chapter 7. Now he's going to subdue 3 of those kings of the 10. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. The saints are the holy ones, the ones that have been set apart, the ones that are consecrated, so to speak, of the Highest One, and the Highest One is God. And he, this little horn, this little big horn, will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand. These saints will be given into his hand for time, times, and half a time. Now, in Jewish reckoning, time, times, which is time is 1, then times is 2, and half a time is 3 1/2 years. So he has just given us an awesome clue. He has told us that for 3.5 years that this little horn will overpower the saints of the highest one and will wear them down. And then it says, but the court will sit for judgment. Now remember in Daniel chapter 7 verse 10, it says the court sat and the books were open. So the court is going to sit for judgment and his dominion will be taken away. His who? His, the little horn, the little big horn, his dominion will be taken away. Now he has dominion of the type and power that he's going to try and change times. He's going to try and change law and he is going to wear down the saints, the Jewish saints of the highest one. It says, and his dominion will be taken away, and you want to remember this for when we get to Daniel chapter 9, it will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. Then, time phrase, the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven, in other words, all those kingdoms, will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions will serve and obey him. So this is the highest one, his kingdom will be. So when you mark the highest one in verse 27 in yellow, as I mark it, I mean, if you're marking it that way, and it says his kingdom, you mark his the same way. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom and all dominions will serve and obey him. So listen, the interpretation of Daniel 7 ends the same way as the interpretation of Daniel chapter 2. In other words, what we have is we have a kingdom that is now the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God here on earth, and it is the last and final kingdom, and it lasts forever and ever and ever. And the saints are going to possess it forever and ever. And it says at this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and my face grew pale, but I kept the matter to myself. Now, why did his thoughts alarm him? Why did his face grow pale? I think it's because of what he read was going to happen to the saints of the highest one. I believe Daniel understood who the saints of the highest one were. They were God's people. And God's people, as you see here in Daniel, are the Jews. There is no church yet in the book of Daniel. There is no church. The church is yet to come. The church is a mystery. It's a mystery that is not revealed until the New Testament. It's a mystery that is revealed to Paul, and Paul, in turn, reveals it to us. And you can read about it in Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3. And that mystery is Jew and Gentile in one body. And in one body, and the body has a head, and that head is Jesus Christ. So the mystery of the church is Jew and Gentile who have both believed in Jesus Christ and have him as their head. Okay? So that mystery is not revealed until the New Testament. So he's talking about the saints of the highest one. They're going to be tread down. They are going to be overpowered by this little horn, this little big horn, and he's going to do it for 3.5 years. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Now, all I'm going to do is take you through Revelation and just show you a couple things about the nation of Israel and the last days. All right? Revelation chapter 12, the nation of Israel and the last days. All right. As a matter of fact, I'm going to back you up one more chapter. I'm going to back you up to Revelation chapter 11, and I want to show you something. Now, look, I'm going to give you some heavy stuff. So just sit there, absorb it, get the CD or the tape, listen to it, and then as you listen to it, just put it there, keep it on the back burner, because there's more of Daniel to come. But I want you to see how Scripture helps interpret Scripture. All right, in Revelation chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, "And there was given me," and this is the Apostle John, and he is having this revelation on the Isle of Patmos, and it says, "There was given me a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, 'Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it.'" All right, so if you have a temple of God, that means that the Jewish temple has been rebuilt. Where has it been rebuilt? It will only be rebuilt one place, and that's on Mount Zion, and that's where the present-day mosque is, okay? And so the Al-Aqsa Mosque is there, and that golden dome that you see. Okay, so it will be built up there, all right? And you say, how? How are they ever going to pull that off? You know, I don't know. God doesn't tell me, but I know it will be because God says so. So measure the temple, measure the altar, and measure those who worship in it. Now, who would worship in it? Jews would worship in it. And it says, "Leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations, to the goyim, to the Gentiles. And they will tread underfoot the holy city 42 months." Do you know how long 42 months is in Jewish reckoning? Because they have only 360 days to a year. 42 months is 3.5 years. So the holy city is going to be tread down by the Gentiles for 3.5 years, although the Jews are going to be in their temple, although the Jews are going to be able to worship in their temple, the outside of that temple, that holy city, is going to be trampled down by goyim, by Gentiles, for 42 months. And then he says, "And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days in sackcloth." Do you know how long that is? Three and a half years. So here you have another 3.5 years mentioned, all right? Then he goes on to tell about these two witnesses. Then we come down to verse 7, and it says, "And when they have finished their testimony, the beast," catch this word, beast. If I were marking my Bible, I'd mark it the same way I mark beast, the fourth beast in Daniel 7. "The beast that comes out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of that great city." Now, these are two witnesses that have been witnessing and testifying for God for 42 months, for 3.5 years, while the goyim tread down the holy city of Jerusalem. And you know what? People tried to put those men to death, and they couldn't, until a very specific event happened. We'll talk about it after the break. It's exciting.
What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
D4Y. Do you know what happens when that beast overpowers those two men? I mean, there is a party. I mean, a big party. Do you know why there's a big party? I mean, people all over the earth literally celebrate that these two guys are dead. And there's a big party because listen to what they do. I want you to go back and look at Revelation chapter 11. It says, verse 5, if anyone desires to harm them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone would desire to harm them in this manner, he must be killed. These have the power to shut up the sky in order that rain might not fall during the days of their prophesying. So they prophesy for 3.5 years, and during that time, if they want to, they can just say, no rain on the face of this earth. And there's no rain on the face of this earth. It says they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they desire. I mean, no wonder the whole world is celebrating that the beast has overpowered them, that he has gotten rid of them. Because here they are able to stop. Nobody's able to stop them. I mean, somebody comes at them to harm them and fire comes out of their mouth. Someone comes to harm them and he's killed. They stop the rain. They bring all these calamities on the face of this earth. They've been doing this for 3.5 years and they're unstoppable until, now catch that, until the beast that comes out of the earth overpowers them and kills them. Verse 8, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is called mystically Sodom and Egypt, also where also their Lord was crucified. Okay, now watch, where their Lord was crucified, a city mystically called Sodom and Egypt. All right, now what is Sodom known for? It's homosexuality. What is Egypt known for? It's trying to enslave the children of Israel, being in rebellion against God, a place that they were warned that they were never to go back to. Woe be unto those who go down to Egypt in the time of trouble. So here is a city that is called mystically Sodom and Egypt. It's where the Lord was crucified. Now, where was Jesus Christ crucified? In Jerusalem. So this is Jerusalem. So their bodies are lying in the streets of Jerusalem. And it says, and those from the people and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days. They prophesied for 3.5 years. Now for 3.5 days, those guys are going to lay in the streets of Jerusalem. No one's going to touch them. And they're not going to touch them because they're just so excited that they're dead and they want to get all the news out of this they can. I mean, the news networks want to milk it for everything that it's worth. And so does this beast. I mean, he's the hero. He's the hero. I mean, he's brought these down and nobody else could bring them down. Every time they tried to bring them down, they were killed. So here are these two witnesses. Now, watch what it says, where their Lord was crucified. So these are witnesses for God Almighty. And it says they will not permit their bodies to be laid in a tomb. Now, years and years and years ago, people could not figure out how someone of every people and every tribe and every language and every tongue could ever see this. They couldn't figure out how that could be. But that was before television. That was before satellites. That was before the internet. So if you can't catch it on television, you can catch it on the internet. And you can see it. They can take pictures and put them on the internet, as you well know. And it says, and those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry, and they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days. I can't wait I don't think I'll be here, but I can't wait to see it, either from heaven or wherever, because, I mean, those cameras, CNN and Fox and all those guys are going to be zoomed in on these three dead bodies. Some reporter is going to be standing there talking about these two dead bodies that have been laying here for 3.5 days, and all of a sudden, those dead bodies are going to get up. They're going to rise right up in front of them. I mean, you talk about faces going pale. You talk about knees and hips going slack. I mean, it's going to blow them right out of the range of the camera, probably, because those two men are going to sit up, get up, and go up. They're going to sit up, get up, and go up. Watch what it says. After 3 days, 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all those that were beholding them. Can't you just hear them saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God? You know, not even believing in God. Oh my God, oh my God. Look at what's happening. And others are going to be, I mean, it's going to be chaos. And it says, and great fear fell on them who were beholding them, and they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, come up here. So they sit up, get up, and go up. Come up here. And they went up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So that cameraman, it'll probably be a shaky picture, but he'll be going like this, you know, just his hand shaking, following them up into the clouds until they're gone, out of sight. I mean, you talk about evening news. I mean, that is really going to be something. And it says, and in that hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. A tenth of Jerusalem is going to fall. And 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. And the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. All right. Now, from the timing, and this is where you're just going to have to believe me until we study Revelation. But that, after that, is when the beast comes to power. After that is when the beast overcomes the saints. So this is 3.5 years before the last 3.5 years. Okay? It's the first 3.5 years. And this is that is coming is the last 3.5 years. You say the first 3.5 years of what? Well, you have to wait until we get to Daniel chapter 9. You can kill me later, okay? But I'll rise. I'll rise from the dead. Not right in front of your eyes, but you kill me and I'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But we're going to see that. All right, what I wanted you to do by looking at Revelation 11 is I wanted you to understand that the Jews have their temple, that they have their altar, that they're worshiping in it, and they have two witnesses that are witnessing for 3.5 years, and then they're put to death by the beast. Okay, now let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Okay, and I just want to show you the woman, and I want to show you what happens. Okay, so you have to hang in here with me. All right, Revelation 12, it says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child. She was pregnant. She cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and this is a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his head were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of the heaven and threw them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now watch what he's saying. Here's a woman. She's pregnant. She is about to give birth to a male child. When she gives birth to this male child is someday going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Well, what do you see in Daniel 7? You see a son of man who is given glory and dominion over every people, tribe, and nation, every language and nation. So this woman is a picture of Israel, from which comes the Messiah. The Messiah comes from David, and David from Abraham. And so you have a Jewish Messiah. All right. Now, this Jewish Messiah comes from the nation of Israel. The dragon, this dragon with 10, what does it say? 10 horns, tries to kill the woman and tries to kill the baby, the boy, the male son, and does not succeed. Who tried? Just think, who tried to kill Jesus after he was born? What king? Herod. What kingdom? Rome. Just put that, stick that feather in your cap and keep it there for a while, okay? Until we go on in this series in Daniel. All right, then it jumps and it spans. Now watch, it spans to the end of Daniel's prophecy. Watch what it says. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared for God, that she might be nourished for 1,260 days. Do you know how long that is? That's 3.5 years. 3.5 years. All right. Now, as we go to Revelation chapter 13, it says, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And do you know what he does? Do you know what he does to the whole earth? Do you know what he does to the saints of the highest one? Well, we know from Daniel chapter 7 that he overpowers them. Do you know how he overpowers them? Do you know how he gives them a hard way to go? Well, we're going to see it in our next program. You're going to have to wait, but we're going to see it in our next program, and you're going to see how it correlates with Daniel 7. Thanks, beloved, for studying.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.